Hey, everybody. Welcome to another week of the Soccer Thread Podcast. I'm Dan Schrader. I'm in Portland, Oregon. This is not NPR, so I'm going to use my normal voice. Yeah. Ryan Palmer's in the studio.
God, it's so good to be here. Woke up early for this, traveled up to Beaverton. Currently have the Everton Spurs game on now, so forgive us for any mid-pod eruptions. So
we got an email from Burge that said that he loved a couple weeks ago when Colin was watching the game because the outburst middle of some monologue and he started swearing at the television. He loved it. Well, today you've got two Potters watching the same game.
Very invested.
Cheering for different teams. It's going to be fun.
They may not be on time delay too. So
yeah, our streams are slightly off, so it's going to be great. Colin Smith is in Swampscott.
I sure am. Yeah, this game's already gone downhill for me, so I don't know if you're going to hear too much passion out of me since I'm already dead inside. I really did think we were going to be able to take points from this and not give up three goals by halftime. So pretty disappointed in the Toffees already.
You had a perfect game.
Yeah.
Predicted.
Usually the Toffees don't disappoint me till, about the 92nd minute. So this is a premature eruption.
Listen, it's two teams that know how to disappoint their fans.
Yeah.
I mean, someone's going to end up very sad at the end of this. Yes. So
it's better to be disappointed early, fail early, then you can get on with your life.
Yeah, fail fast. It's the startup mentality. Yeah.
That's right. we're going to do a draft today. This draft, Mike isn't here, but we let him nominate the draft topic. The draft topic is soccer websites. Mm. The way that we've interpreted this is soccer websites that you wish existed that you, as far as you know, don't exist.
And if one of the websites we name does exist, please let us know. And then we don't have to worry about it. Take care of it for us.
So the order today is going to be
penalty.
Colin,
are you kidding me? That's a penalty? Are you fucking
Palmer
kidding me?
And
get
Dan.
The fuck out of here.
What just happened? Did it actually call
nothing,
out?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Yikes.
I'm trolling right now.
Colin, with the number one pick in the imaginary soccer websites draft, what are you creating?
This is somebody last week picked Klopp for their Christmas party because they would love all the hugs that Jurgen Klopp's known to hand out.
That was me.
I want a website that has a Jurgen Klopp hug counter. So this would be, it would count his all-time hugs number, his putting up stats, and also his yearly hugs. And then also I want a paparazzi to be following him around basically 24/7. And every time he hugs someone, take a picture of it. So it's like, I don't have Instagram personally, but I understand how it works. So it's basically an Instagram feed of just pictures of Klopp hugging people.
I like that brag that you understand how Instagram works. That's,
hey,
congrats.
Strange flex, but I do understand how Instagram works.
Yeah.
I mean, at least you're not talking about Snapchat. I have no idea how that thing works.
So, yeah.
So we got the hug counter website.
The Klopp hug counter. I feel like he's got to be on, it's like the, I know we hate on Malcolm Gladwell on here, but doesn't he have this 10,000 hours thing? I feel like Klopp's putting up more 10,000 hugs. Yep. But I want to know.
He's perfected his hug.
He has perfected the hug.
Yep.
He definitely has. That is a hug that I would definitely accept willingly.
Yep.
And gladly.
And then we can have stats on there, people. He's like who is Klopp's most hugged individual?
Oh, that's a good one. Do you have a guess? His wife's not it?
Not his wife.
I don't know. His wife might get more pecks on the cheek,
Yeah.
That might not be a hug relationship for Jurgen.
It's just the Liverpool kit man. Just somebody he sees every day.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Palmer, what website are you creating?
So Mike suggested an actual website last night on the text thread, which was, I believe, 101goals.com or something like that. I'm more into, Mike would appreciate this. I think my senior year, his junior year, we looked at a bunch of fun goal celebrations, and him and friend of the pod, Gorky, decided to use a lot of those in their goal celebrations. I would like a website that just compiles all goal celebrations. And not the goals. I don't want to see the goal.
Cut those out.
I just want to see the celebration, all of them. So it's just like 101 great goal celebrations.
And you can like you can like filter by celebration. Like you want like baby, all the baby celebrations.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I like
or
that.
Or like
hip hop dance move celebrations.
Yes.
buddy celebrations group, where you need somebody else to do the other half.
Yes, exactly.
Choreographed. Exactly. Yeah. Team choreographed celebrations.
So that's I'll take that one.
That's a good one.
That's really good.
That really should exist.
That's good.
It might. You never know. The internet is a big place.
Yeah. We have not memorized it all yet.
I want a website that just lists or like ranks all of the world's best crests in the world of soccer. I want to just be able to go on a website and not have to dig. I mean, these lists probably kind of exist, but I want an actual website where all of the crests are like all of them. It's exhaustive and you can click through them. There are different
amateur
lists. You can
teams
get different
from
people.
Local amateur teams crests on there.
Yeah, I want all of them. I want all, if we ever play a five-a-side tournament, I want the Soccer Thread podcast crest on there.
1 to 50,000.
You can get like this
like
writer
the,
or that
the
writer.
Evolution of the crest as well.
Uh-huh. I want it all on there. And then you can have like different, you can click on different people who have ranked the crest. So that's like a way that you can kind of explore. So the website itself, I don't want it to be a top-down ranking. I want it just to be an exhaustive list of all the crests. And then there's content related just to crests within the website.
This is a very nerdy, like design nerdy thing, but it would be awesome.
It'd be awesome. You could spend hours. Friday afternoons at work, a little slow. No problem. No problem.
I just saw this Dominic Calvert-Lewin goal again, and that is not a foul. Oh my God, what a joke.
It looks very soft.
That's definitely a foul. Both arms extended. Yep, foul. 100%.
With all due respect, Palmer, suck my balls.
I want a website called Colin is wrong dot fuck off.
Ooh, I did not see that first Tottenham goal in lifetime. Burge, this is the content you wanted. Random discussions.
Watching the first half highlights. Yep.
My second website is a website that just puts together itineraries for soccer-related vacations. So you can say, nice. I've got...
This is great.
I've got 4 days. I've got a long weekend in October. You punch in your dates, and it says your best option is to go to, Mallorca, Barcelona, and wherever else.
Oh,
you can catch Copa del Rey, blah, 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 blah. And it just... It puts it all together for you. It says this is the way to optimize your. This is the way to optimize your long weekend.
That is a great idea.
I like the I'll give you a few choices, and it'll be like, one is going to be you can like sort by like best highest quality of matches, but you also sort by like best weather. So you'd be like highest quality of matches. Well, you're going to be driving for between Scotland and England in February to catch some games, or you could be like, nah. F that, I'm going to do, Sicily instead.
Exactly. You can also get, obviously filter by cost. You can filter by quality of games versus quantity. So, it'll tell you that you can go see a bunch of amateur games in the North Isthmian League, but that may not be what you're looking for. But if you're living in wherever North Isthmius is, maybe that's what you want to do, You just want to hop in the car and see how many games you can watch in a day. That's fine.
I love this idea. Beautiful. I really like this idea.
Number two.
I am a big fashion guy, and I like to buy clothes. And so I want a website that compiles what players were wearing pregame, what players were wearing during the game, because I love a jersey. Mm-hmm. I love a kit. And then what they wear after the game, and then where I can purchase all of these clothes.
And where you can purchase their Louis V dot kits.
The knockoffs.
Yeah.
But I want access to the clothes that, and then, there's always shots of them like showing up to training. I want that website that, tells me what they're wearing and then links to where I can buy the look. Yes, exactly.
This is like
what I want.
Yeah, the Us Weekly football websites.
Yeah, 100, and like who wore it best?
Yeah,
I mean, I want to know. Pep looks great on the sidelines. Usually, he's not been looking very, very good in his weird grandma cardigan thing. But usually he's looking
coming
good.
From a man that loves a cardigan. I'm surprised you're going in on that.
And you know, Pochettino always is looking good. I want to know where these guys are getting their clothes. And
they're getting their clothes at places that you are not getting your clothes. That's the answer.
That is 100% true. But a guy likes to dream. A guy likes to dream.
But you can get the look, right?
Yeah, there's no problem.
The
yeah.
magazines. Yeah,
yeah, that's here's what the magazine's for. It's a website magazine. I like it. All right.
Here's your $30 version of this $400 coat. You're like, all right, great. Thank you.
You broke, bitch.
Colin, wrap it up.
All right. This one hits close to home for the thread because we've done this in the past, but I want wedding registries for every footballer who's currently engaged. As a thread, we once stumbled onto the wedding registry of Stu Holden and got him the cheapest thing on his registry, which was a mortar and pestle, and said, told him to think of us when he crushes stuff. And that was great. I mean, I felt like we really, that was a unique way to interact with one of your heroes. We knew he got it because his wife, I think, posted to Instagram about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Again, I know how Instagram works. Not bragging, just saying. yeah, so I thought that was a great way for us to interact with Stu Holden. And I think if footballers would put their registries online, or if someone can, you know, dig through the depths of the internet to find them, you know, do a little hacking, you'd get some funny presents and you know, everything off your registry if you were a footballer and you put your wedding registry online.
Yeah, I mean, it's something that you want, so it's not like you're being a creep and sending random mortar and pestles. We're just,
but
just
I would,
helping people
but
out,
I would.
You know? I love that we did this, but I also feel kind of bad that we did this because we took the cheapest thing on the registry from someone that probably
was going to the wedding.
They needed that.
Yeah. But sorry.
Their not famous cousin was like, I was only budgeting $30 for this.
Yeah. Having this expensive ass wedding. It was really hard to get to wherever they got married. I had to buy this plane ticket. I'm looking to buy that mortar and pestle, but it's gone.
Snap that up.
Stumble upon this registry is a little soft. We definitely went looking for it. Let's just, it's not like it popped up on some Google ad on the sideboard of the website.
But that's what Colin's saying. We want people to be able to stumble upon this now.
Yeah.
There needs to be a website. Like what did Cristiano Ronaldo's registry look like?
Yeah, I feel like I don't even want it to exist for Ronaldo. I want it to exist for like, I don't know, people who are like just hangers on in Lee Cattermole. I want Lee Cattermole's, you know, I want those guys, the rank and file guys.
Just your normal old. Yeah.
Yeah. That's who I want.
That would be fun. That would be very fun. All right, so there are the soccer websites we want to hear. Colin wants a club hug counter and a
Klopp
football
hug.
Wedding
registry.
Klopp, sorry. Klopp hug counter and a footballer's wedding registry database. Palmer wants 101 great goal celebrations. Cut those goals out. No interest in that.
Yep.
Just give me them celebrations.
Yep.
And then a player style guide where you can buy this look. Dan, I want an exhaustive list of all crests in world soccer with related content. And then a soccerkayak.com. And that's those are the websites that we want.
I like that.
For soccer. I feel like if those
that's
existed.
My favorite website, I think.
Being a soccer fan would be a much better, more fun thing if those six websites existed.
It'd be easier.
100%.
It'd definitely be easier.
It'd be a lot easier.
It'd be amazing. Yeah.
Instead, you just have to listen to this podcast.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Colin, what about emails this week? No, Mike, you're on duty.
All right. No, Mike. All right. This is the easy part. This is why we give Mike this job. All right. First off, we got Gork. That's Carson Gorky. He wrote in with a little love for Peter Crouch because, you know, he's a Peter Crouch aficionado.
Yes, he is.
He asked us if we had ever heard about the Peter Crouch podcast, which I'm assuming he heard about on a different podcast that mentioned it this week. I'm not going to give them any, you know, free
Buzz
press
marketing.
Because they don't need it. I don't know about you guys, but I've never heard this Peter Crouch podcast. Have you?
I have not, but I am very intrigued.
I've heard it's terrible, but Peter Crouch is so good on social media that it could be good.
Like terrible, actually terrible, like I don't want to listen to this, or terrible, like I want to listen to this because it's so bad.
I mean, yeah, I've heard it's the, maybe the second, but you'd only want to listen to it once, probably.
That's too bad. Yeah, I could see that because he seems like he's hilarious, but that's mostly based on about 4 tweets and 1 interview in his entire life.
Yeah.
He may not be able to like generate weekly content.
Yeah.
So I believe that. Really, Carson, there's only one soccer podcast that anyone should be listening to. Come on. Let's be honest.
There's only one soccer podcast.
And then he also asked us who has the easiest and hardest holiday schedules in the Premier League. For easiest, I'll submit 2 teams, Manchester United and Spurs. I'm not counting this week as part of the holiday break. I'm just counting the next 3 games, which are Boxing Day. Usually, most teams are playing on the 30th. And then the 2nd of January. And then also there's an FA Cup round on the 5th of January. So that's 4 games. Manchester United has 3 of those 4 at home. Those are against Huddersfield, Bournemouth, and Reading in the Cup. And then they go away to Newcastle. So you really think that
this sounds like a strength of schedule stuff.
Yeah,
right,
exactly.
Now.
This is strength of schedule stuff. Yeah, so those are all, I would say, very winnable for United. Spurs have a similarly easy schedule, if you ask me. They are home to Bournemouth and Wolves. They go away, but that's to Cardiff, which should be, if Cardiff's last game is any indication, that should be a walk. And then they host Tranmere Rovers. Or I'm sorry, they go to Prenton Park to play Tranmere Rovers in the FA Cup. So that's a League 2 side.
We have been there, and Dan revolutionized the eating game in...
In plates. I revolutionized plates at Prenton Park. Yeah, I bought 2 hamburgers because I was very hungry, and I used the first hamburger as a plate for the second hamburger as I ate the second hamburger first.
It was amazing.
And I got some looks from some British people wondering what this American dude was all about. And I'd like to think they took that home, and they considered what the actual utility of a real plate is.
Prenton Park, great place, though. Great place to see a soccer game.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yep, that was a lot of fun. Up the Rovers. And then I would say the toughest holiday schedule belongs to Liverpool FC. They host Newcastle on Boxing Day, but after that it gets pretty tough. They host Arsenal in the next round, and then they go away to Man City, and their FA Cup game is not too easy either compared to these other ones where a lot of teams are drawing League 2 sides. They go away to Wolves. So,
who was that?
They go away to Wolves.
Yeah, no, who's the team that
Liverpool.
Had the toughest
game? Liverpool.
Liverpool.
So, yeah, Liverpool have 2 top 6 sides in Arsenal. They probably have their toughest game of the season, or anyone's toughest game of the season, you could argue, going to the Emirates. And then they do not have a cakewalk in the FA Cup, as many teams do. So
that's a huge game at the Emirates.
Yep. That's big. It's going to be, they're going to be playing at the Emirates in that game. That's, right at the end of the holiday fixture congestion, if you will. So it's a game where, your squad depth really matters because, it's not going to be your best 11, really.
Excellent.
All
good
right.
Research. I was going to say, Gorky, go figure it out.
Yeah,
I have no
good
idea.
Good job, Colin. Yeah. Good job.
Hey, that's why we're 59th with, best, baby.
I agree with all of those things that you just said.
All right. And then our next email was from Matt Bergeron, who, as Stan already talked about, likes us to watch games during the pod. So, we're doing that. We do it for you. And then he wrote a very long email, which we love long emails. I'm just not going to read the whole thing, about how he came to pick Spurs and the fact that he picked them because he's a Chicago Cubs fan and he felt like Spurs were the Cubs of the Premier League, which myself, I'm a Brewers fan, so I dislike the Cubs strongly, and it makes me feel really happy that to have them compared to the Cubs when I'm rooting against them in this very moment. But he really uses this as a platform to talk about how the Yankees are and Manchester United are the same, and we've kind of been down this alley of comparing Premier League clubs to either baseball teams or NFL teams in America before, and I think that's a big reason why, for me at least, a lot of new fans to the Premier League, end up rooting for Spurs because they don't want to root for the Yankees of the Premier League, something like that. but they want to root for a team that wins a little bit. So it's not like they're watching, you know, their team lose every single week.
Everton.
Yeah, Everton, exactly. just getting dominated at home right
Spurs,
now.
Spurs win a little bit, but they don't like trophies. So
yeah. Trophies is a bridge too far. They don't want that.
just good enough to really disappoint you.
Yeah.
You know, yep. You got to clean the trophies. That's the issue. They don't like cleaning.
And then Burge also talks about how this relates to their both teams' GMs who have very specific strategies of, you know, what kind of strategy you have to have when you're the Yankees or United versus what kind of strategy you have to have when you're the Cubs or Spurs. And he posits that maybe these GMs could even be successful kind of crossing club lines, crossing sports lines and
sports, yeah.
Coming across and being a director of football. I think that's a little too far, honestly. I think that, especially as Palmer would point out, there's more to soccer than just the metrics, whereas baseball is an extremely metric-driven sport right now. You could kind of not watch the games at all and probably be a decent GM. Just
oh my God, what a goal.
Oh, sorry. Fuck yourself.
Go on, Christian Eriksen. That was
that is a good goal.
Townsend-esque.
The Cubs. The Cubs are anyway, really showing out right now.
Hitting home runs well. Left and right.
Colin, how much do you think sporting directors or technical directors or GMs are actually doing the like particulars of the statistical breakdowns and stuff though? Or are they more like managing the contract negotiations, putting the squad together, dealing with budgets? Like if that's all going to, if the statistical stuff and the like finding the right pieces is being done by scouts, then what prevents more of a, just an office manager type from making the jump?
I think because you
I
have
just
to like,
have these jobs totally wrong. You have to, is like, that not what they're doing?
I think you have to like think about the team as a whole, right? You have to compile a team that makes sense. You can't just be like, oh, all these pieces are good pieces, which you can do in baseball, right? You can just be like, these are nine guys who are good. Whereas yeah. in soccer, there's some kind of tactics or like you're looking for a certain type of player and you have to be able to look at him and be like, well, Heung-min Son and Willian are both wingers who are productive, but they're different players, right? Or Pedro is also a different type of winger than those two. And if you're thinking about signing Christian Pulisic, yeah, he's a good one too, but how is he different than those guys you already have? Does he make sense or is he redundant? You know, that kind of
and
thing.
And you think the technical director is making that decision and not somebody else?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's their role, basically. I think that's why you want a guy who has been in the game a long time and also why you want stability in that position where you don't have it in the manager, right? Because you want to be able to put together a group of 25 guys or whatever that makes sense together. And then when you swap the manager, you don't have to remake a different group of 25 guys. That makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. So
I think a lot of this, I think soccer, like you said, soccer is a different game than American baseball. I think there's a lot of different things that go into a full season in soccer than there does, in baseball. You know, there are teams like the top four, like United, Liverpool, now City, that year in, year out are building clubs to compete in Europe, where you have teams in the nice goal from Everton there, where you have teams that are kind of trying to stay in the Premier League.
Yeah. Sorry, I just saw it. Oh, guilty.
7 second delay for Colin.
You have teams that are trying to stay in the Premier League. You have teams that are trying to get into the Europa League. So the way that you build your team, and then you also have teams that are, you know, in the Championship that are trying to get into the Premier League. So the way that you build your team, and the people that you surround yourself with, the money that you allocate for things, is a little bit different than it is in baseball.
Pickford would have saved that shit.
I think that there's a really good documentary about QPR and their kind of journey from the lower levels up into the Premier League.
Yeah.
Called The 4-Year Plan. It's a very good documentary. It's a nice little peek behind the scenes, which I don't think, another reason why we don't know too much about what happens is because I think it's a very European thing to not talk about behind the scenes stuff. Whereas in America, we want to know how money is being spent and where it's being spent. And so that's why I think people like Theo Epstein and Brian Cashman are names that we know. But you know, in the Premier League, the names that we really know are
the managers,
are the managers, you know, and maybe their assistant coaches here and there, or their technical director here and there, but, not as much as we do in the US, because in the US we feel like we are entitled to know what goes on behind the scenes. So that's my take.
There are some good, technical director type people in soccer that we do know about, right? Like Cheeky at Manchester City, who came from Barcelona. I have no idea what his last name is, but
thanks for this podcast for that.
He's got an X in his first name, so that's dope. There's the dude that's at Roma now that Colin in Classroom cornered a couple of months ago.
Classroom cornered both those guys. Monchi is that the guy you're thinking of.
Monchi. So these kind of like, you know, Theo Epstein types who are given a lot of credit for how clubs are run, they do exist, but I agree with Palmer. I think they don't end up getting interviewed or in front of the camera quite as much, so we just don't.
Yeah.
You have to be a little bit, I mean, they're not going to be on ESPN, right? So it takes a little bit more to know who those guys are.
Yeah, and it is true that the way we run American clubs is like the finances are all public, right? Because those are not all like completely public, like a, I don't know, publicly owned company or something, but they're very public because of the fact we have salary caps and luxury taxes in American sports, whereas those things don't exist in soccer. So you're kind of free to keep some of these things a little more in-house if you want to.
All right. Very good. That's a great question. Thanks, Birsch. Soccerthread@gmail.com. Send us questions. I forgot to also say, when we're back doing that draft, if you've got website ideas in the soccer world that you'd like to see come into the real world, let us know, because there are for sure some good ideas out there, and we just came up with a few ourselves. So get at us, soccerthread@gmail.com.
And those ideas are all IP at this point, so
yeah,
if you want to make those websites, you have to okay that with us.
We get a cut. We'd like a cut of your money losing website. this podcast isn't a money sink enough for us. We'd really like some more money losing ventures. Mourinho is out. Let's start with the real news here. Jose Mourinho.
Tragic.
I mean, so he loses to Liverpool last weekend. This does not seem like a bad. I mean, they kind of got crushed, right?
They got smacked.
This is not as bad a result as many that he's had recently or over the course of the season. So I was definitely surprised when he got the sack. Because it didn't, you know, it seems like he's done worse. Like, he's tried harder to get sacked. Why was this the moment? So it came as a surprise on Monday or Tuesday morning, whatever it is. We woke up and he's out.
You know what I think it was? I think it was when he said, he essentially had an interview where he was like, fourth place is the best we can do right now. And it was almost as if he was kind of giving up on the season. And I think that was it. His general attitude,
but his attitude's been terrible for years.
Yeah,
like,
but he's always at least been kind of, I don't know. When the fourth place is the best we can do bit was maybe just too much.
Yeah.
But I mean, you're right. Like, I don't know how that was the moment, but
I like the fourth place, the best we can do bit. I imagine you're saying bit as in it's a thing. Like, he workshopped it, and it was just a step too far. A little peek into the thread. Colin and I, after recording ended last week, I made some comment about, do you think Pogba will play another minute for Manchester United? Colin and I bet some socks. I said that Pogba would not play more than 30 more minutes for Manchester United. Essentially, my thinking being, if Mourinho was going to go, he's already done everything he needed to do that.
Right.
So they're going to stay with Mourinho, which means that Pogba's gone. That was my line of reasoning. It was incorrect in the end, and I was very surprised. So little peek, Colin, socks are on the way to you.
Give me them socks. So
hold tight. So what's next for Mourinho? We'll hold on. We'll talk about Manchester United. We'll get into that. But like, what is Mourinho's status? What's his next step?
Zlatan.
I think
LA Galaxy.
LA Galaxy.
Yeah, I mean, I think actually that's the profile of the kind of club that I was going to say. I was going to say he's going to go have to remake himself at a level lower than the jobs he's been getting, right? He's not going to go to Madrid. I think they won't hire him.
No.
Or, you know, a champion, like a perennial Champions League club is not going to take him at this point. However,
you don't
I think so? He still is a huge name and a draw, and he'll get a job at the level lower than that. But I say that I think that the place he'll land is in that it's a level lower is not going to be a club that's just outside the Champions League, like maybe an Everton or whatever, some a team that just doesn't make the Champions League every year but is in a big league. I think he'll go back to a Porto-type team that is the biggest club or one of two big clubs in their league, but it's a league that's not quite as big. And very possible that that will be in Portugal, obviously, because that's where he's from. So
he's got to go somewhere where he can win a trophy.
Yep. Exactly. He's got to go have success. So I think it'll be a place like Portugal or, you know, I struggle to think of another league that suits him in that way. But yeah, I think that's his level.
Can he go to Italy and be successful?
Yeah. I mean, I think he could. I mean, I don't, maybe he can get the job at Inter or something like that. But really, I think that a lot of people will be scared off from him from just kind of not just
brand
the
management.
Yeah,
is
exactly.
Very bad right now.
Exactly. Yeah. It's just a bad look.
You don't think he'll go make $20 million a year or, you know, so AVB is in China right now. I was looking up coach salaries this week. AVB is in China making like the second highest coaching salary in the world right now. And he is not the second best coach, right?
The PowerPoint. Like,
so Mourinho,
good presentation.
He could,
he could, yes,
go get a check in China or the United Arab Emirates, right? Like, and that doesn't seem like a terrible option for him because in a few years, people are going to be like, "Oh yeah, remember him?" They're not going to remember all the terrible stuff,
yeah.
Or they will, but they'll write it off, right? They'll say this guy wins Champions Leagues wherever he goes, and they'll forget that United was
not
a disaster.
United.
Chelsea number two was a disaster. And eventually somebody's going to be desperate enough to bring him back. And he might as well go make $25 million a year in the meantime.
Look, if I were Mourinho, I would say, yeah, that's a good idea. But I think he's too conscious about how he's perceived. You know, I think that he will not want...
The special one. The special
one
doesn't go to China.
He's the special one. He's not the one who goes to China. He's the one who goes to teams that play in the Champions League every year, whatever, you know? Yeah. If he goes to China, he's admitting that he's the same as AVB and Sven and whoever else has gone over there.
Ancelotti,
and taking a check.
Yeah.
So I just don't see it happening.
MLS, yay or nay, Colin?
I don't think it happens, but it'd be fucking phenomenal.
It would be amazing, but I don't think that he... I feel like...
I think
to,
same
for
problem.
Him to go, for him to go to MLS, he would have to take a huge hit to his ego, and that's... I just don't think it's going to happen.
I think...
I could see
that's an issue. I also just think nobody in MLS is going to pay that much for a manager.
Yeah. I could see him staying out of management for longer than we would think, 18 months or so.
Yeah. Maybe go back to coaching school, learn some new tactics.
get a little continuing education in modern tactics. So Manchester United.
Go to a Pep coaching clinic.
Manchester United announced
pretty early.
That they're going to bring in a caretaker manager for the rest of the season. They don't. He's such a happy man.
Yeah.
Heung-min Son.
Oh, could you imagine him and Klopp hugging each other and then doing one of his like famous handshakes? Oh, my God. Can I just get a website of that on GIF just rolling over and over and over again?
So it's the 61st minute of this Everton-Tottenham game. Colin predicted that it would finish 0-0.
Yeah.
We're now averaging more than a goal every 10 minutes. Good prediction, Colin. So United, they bring in a caretaker. The rumor very quickly is that it's going to be Ole Gunnar Solskjaer, and that turns out to be true. Palmer, do you like this appointment, both in terms of do you think a caretaker is the right move, and then do you like Ole for this job?
A caretaker is the right move, given that it's the middle of the season and the best they can do is fourth place.
They're in the Champions League, so.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that you're going to find a permanent replacement at this point.
Zidane's not working.
Well, that's a really good point. I think they bring in Zidane at the end of the year.
Yeah,
they're
possible.
The word is they're making some flirty eyes at Pochettino, but I don't know why you'd want to go to a smaller club at this point.
Oh,
hey,
take that, Devin.
No, I think you know Ole has some club history there. I think he'll have the support of the fans, and obviously you know a cloud has been lifted over the players at least. And I think anyone's going to be a better option right now than Jose. I think see the season out, maybe have some success in the Champions League. This kind of feels like the Ryan Giggs appointment that happened a couple years ago.
At the end of LBG.
Where you know they had some success, and at the end of the year, they're like, "Are we going to give him the job? Should we give him the job?" And then I think that they'll just go out and pay big money for a big name, maybe Zidane.
Probably Pochettino.
Hopefully not Pochettino.
Yeah.
But no, I think this was the right move, and it's a nice little brief or a tip of the cap to their history, and I think it makes some people happy. So
so one of the things they said was that they wanted somebody like steeped in the United tradition. Colin, are you buying that is a factor that should be observed?
I mean, steeped in the United tradition is a factor for the fans. So I think, like Palmer says, you can get the fans behind this appointment, and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer plays a pretty attacking style, which the fans think is United style. I think that the data is not there to support the fact that United have a style at all, much less an attacking style. Great article by Michael Cox that came out on ESPN kind of about this point. So read that if you want to dig into that, Devin Palmer. So I'm not buying that, but I agree that it's a move to act like United does have a style and it's attacking. And I think Solskjaer will play an attacking style. Obviously, they scored 5 goals in the first game. Maybe not going to average 5 goals a game, but
here's a fun stat for all you metric loving stat heads. This is the first time that they scored 5 goals in a game since Sir Alex Ferguson.
Yeah,
so that obviously means that they're going to win the Champions League and maybe shock some people and win the league this year. So there you go.
If they wanted to win the Champions League, they should have hired Roberto Di Matteo, specialist at this.
Stats don't lie.
Who's the Israeli guy? Didn't he also win a Champions League?
Evan Grant.
Yeah. Oh. So they go away to Cardiff. They win 5-1. Pogba starts. He plays his 30 minutes. I'm ordering socks by the 35th minute for Colin.
Sure.
There's
two assists.
This, to me, this is just an example of Solskjaer just not making the team 30% worse, which Mourinho by the end definitely was, right? The famous quote from Trapattoni is a manager can make a team 5% better or 30% worse. So Solskjaer, all he has to do is put Pogba back in the lineup and then let him play, and they're going to be better than they were. Like, it's that easy, right? Everyone's going to be happier. You get your best players on the field. It's not hard. You just put your best players in a reasonable position on the field, let them play. And they go away to a very bad Cardiff team and win 5-1, and United fans are super excited. Is that going to last, Palmer?
No. I mean, it's one game.
It's Cardiff.
You know, it's one game. It's Cardiff. And
lads,
Manchester is not red. They are still, 9 points out of a Champions League spot. They are... 15 points out of first place. It's one game. It is one game. One game does not make a champion. We'll see. I think that they need to see this season out. It's been tumultuous. It's been weird. They still have to go and play in Europe and show out in the Champions League. So I think it's a sigh of relief that Mourinho is gone. I think there's a lot of players that are happy to see him leave. I think it's, like I said earlier, kind of a cloud has been lifted out of the training room. Hopefully that could, equate to some success on the pitch. But yeah, it, they still got a long way. They got to figure some things out. So,
yeah. Permanent replacement manager to expected to be announced in the summer. Colin, we mentioned Zidane. Anyone else? Pochettino.
I'm looking at him right now.
Stop
Pochettino.
Saying that.
Yeah.
Stop saying
I don't know. I think Tottenham right now is saying, oh, you think 5 goals is a big deal? Well, we can do it against the top half of the table team.
Yeah. I mean, this is a cash rules everything around me thing. We talked about this in the midweek that Mourinho is probably on about twice as much money, 15 million to 7 or 8 million for Pochettino. So you would expect that Pochettino can drive a hard bargain there if he's the guy they want. And he can double his salary, which is, you know, something people like to do, generally speaking.
I see that and I hear you and cream and all, and I get that. But at some point, you have to be looking at kind of a longevity of a career here. And if you look at ever since Ferguson, it's been Moyes, very tumultuous and not a great environment there. They fired him. LVG, again, pretty toxic. And then Mourinho, pretty toxic. So I don't know why you want this. You want the United job because it's a big name and they're going to pay you a lot, but I don't know why you'd want to leave Spurs right now. They're having just an insane run. It seems like,
I mean, I agree with all that, but also if you're a manager, you might be thinking, they gave Mourinho $400 million to spend on 11 players, and Spurs went out and bought no one in the past window, right?
Yeah, that's true.
So if you would like to be a part of a team that shows ambition through spending money, you know, that's – United certainly has that over Spurs. So,
you know who else does, though? Real Madrid.
Yeah.
You know who else is going to make a play for Pochettino within the next few years?
Madrid.
Real
Madrid. Absolutely.
So would you rather go manage in Spain and play at a team that doesn't necessarily have a reputation for absolutely crushing managers' reputations? Or, you know, I mean, he could double his salary next year, or he could hang out another year and just wait for Madrid to finally come.
Yeah, I mean, I think Madrid, though, goes through their managers even faster. So,
yeah, but you don't see managers walking out of there in tatters like you have at Madrid. I mean,
yeah,
Moyes, Van
Gaal,
Mourinho,
I see what you're saying. I see your point.
Those are not guys that we look at and think like, oh yeah, I'd be happy if my club brought him in at this point. They're done by the time they leave United.
Yeah, but wasn't that the case with Spurs until Pochettino? Tim Sherwood, AVB? We talking about those guys in the Premier League anymore?
If I'm Pochettino, I'd much rather go live in Spain than Liverpool or wherever, Manchester. So
yeah. No, I'm just saying. I could see it be Pochettino. The other one people are talking about is Eddie Howe, who's kind of the new David Moyes, if you like. So I could see that as well, but I think Pochettino the most likely. Obviously, a lot of people think Solskjaer will, you know, by making this team, like you said, not 30% worse anymore, he'll get a chance to make his interim tag permanent. I don't think that'll happen. Because
no, I don't think so.
I don't think they'll have enough success under him. I think they'll have some embarrassing results where they give up 3 or 4 goals to bad teams, and that'll make people say, okay, this guy isn't a good enough manager. I mean, his resume is pretty bad. He managed half a season at Cardiff, brought them down, got them relegated basically in half a season, and has managed that in Norway since then. And Norway's league is, someone wrote that Norway's league is like club coefficient, UEFA coefficient is about the same as Kazakhstan. So
yeah,
it's really not a high level there. So, I don't know.
I saw some people mention if they were serious about bringing in somebody steeped in United tradition and somebody that was actually a decent coach, Mark Hughes and Steve Bruce, they're not sexy managing names, but those are guys that have Premier League experience, could steady a ship, are United guys, right? Like, it all doesn't quite add up unless they're really going for a storybook fairy tale narrative, which, you know, fine if they are. They got a big win to start. Good luck, Ollie. Let's see how that goes.
I don't know why we haven't talked about Big Sam yet, but
yeah, get him in.
LRDJ.
He'll certainly help them avoid relegation.
Yeah. And he's, you know, he loves to play some attacking style football.
He's available.
DJ.
So in other news this weekend, Liverpool extend their lead at the top. They go to Wolverhampton and win 2-0. Salah gets a goal and an assist. This is Liverpool. I don't know. Are they starting to convince?
No, I think that you're bearing the lead here. Liverpool do win at Wolves, which is a big win away, but City lose at home to Crystal Palace. That's the bigger story.
Okay. Andros Townsend.
And Andros Townsend's Christian Eriksen-esque goal. that, to me, is the bigger story. And, you know, Liverpool taking care of business away on the road, which I think is huge. Liverpool will go into Christmas with the Premier League lead. And I think they're the only team in the past couple years to
the past
go
8 years,
Christmas,
I think. Yeah.
Go into Christmas with the lead and lose the lead. So, but I think City dropping points at home is a really big story.
I just want Dan to tell me why Liverpool aren't title favorites now.
I think the depth of squad is the exact reason.
All right.
Manchester City can rotate through their midfield, can even rotate up top and maintain consistency. They'll be able to get through the holiday period. They'll be able to make their run at the Champions League. You know, Pep has been through this all before. So not that Klopp hasn't, but it's not like Pep is going out, you know, and doing something he's never done before. He's managed big clubs through lots of competitions before. This is what he's here for. And I think just the strength of his squad.
Yeah.
It's hard to see.
Go on.
Pochettino's got six.
Jesus.
It's hard.
So easy.
For me to see Liverpool just methodically continue to click off win after win, and that's what they're going to need to do. I think they're going to slip, and I think, you know, this is City slip, and to have your slip at the end of December is better than having your slip in the middle of April.
I like all this slip talk with Steven Gerrard being the reason that they lost the Premier League that one year.
If anyone wants to put some socks on it, I've still got City finishing above Liverpool.
I haven't even gotten Colin his socks yet, so I'm not.
You're not socks eligible.
I mean, I agree with you, Dan. I think, and you know, Colin said this at the beginning of the pod, is that Liverpool has the toughest kind of Boxing
Day
fixture congestion.
Yep.
And Klopp complained about this last year even. Where he was saying that how ridiculous it is to have so many games back to back. He's got Europe to think about, currently holding the Champions League or the Premier League lead right now. But it's a slight lead. It's 4 points, and there's a lot of games that are coming up thick and fast. And this is going to be the big test. And, we will see, but I think it's interesting that you talk about the team depth. I think last year Liverpool were dependent on their starting 11. They didn't have a lot of guys that could fill that role.
Yeah,
they went out and got Shaqiri this year, and that's been a huge asset to them. So I do think that they've added some players.
They've got Pulisic coming in next month.
I was just gonna say that.
Maybe Virgil van Dijk has been looking just. Their MVP. He's
a
really,
goal this week.
Just in general, I think he's been great for them. He's really tightened it up at the back. They now have a relative decent goalkeeper that they can depend on. That's not Karius. So I don't think that their depth is as bad as you say it is, but I do think that this is going to be the biggest test for them. And whether or not they can do the congestion. I do think that they'll drop some points. So it's going to get tight again. Tight. Yep.
City lose at home to Crystal Palace. Townsend banger. Salah leads Liverpool to a win. 4 points at the top of the table. I would point out, Mike last week stated that 4 points at the bottom of the table was an insurmountable barrier, that Newcastle were safely mid-table with a four-point gap. So we'll see if 4 points holds up at the top of the table. Another shocker, really. Chelsea at home lose to Leicester. Jamie Vardy goal in this one is the difference. I did not see this. So someone else, anyone got comments?
I mean, I think
I have no comments. I didn't see it.
Chelsea, as much as Sarri likes to play an attacking style, I think last week I talked about the fact they were playing Hazard as a false nine. Also underlines the fact that they don't have confidence in Giroud or Morata to score goals. So I think that's something that really sets them apart from the other teams at the top of the table, like Liverpool and City, who have, you know, some of the best or highest goal scorers in the league. And even Arsenal, honestly, watching Arsenal this week, Aubameyang, Aubameyang, whatever his name is, he's fucking legit.
Yeah.
He can
real good this year.
He can just get goals. He can finish goals. He gets the chance. He takes the chance kind of guy. I think that's really Chelsea's downfall this year. And, you know, so be it. They're not an elite team.
Yeah. So Arsenal with a 3-1 win over Burnley, Bournemouth 2-0 over Brighton and Hove. Stop me if you've got anything to say about this stuff.
Nope.
Southampton go away to Huddersfield, 3-1 win. Newcastle and Fulham draw.
0-0
West Ham lose at home to Watford. And that's the Premier League. Things are getting interesting at the top, which I don't think we necessarily would have thought. I love
it. No, it's tight at the top.
It's great for the holidays.
Fire drill happening at Goodison right now. Boy, they are running to the exits. A lot of empty seats.
In other news, stateside, in MLS, the league announced that they're changing the playoff structure starting next year. So the traditional playoff structure, and by traditional, I mean, I think they haven't tinkered with it over the last 2 years. So very, you know, steeped in tradition,
yeah.
2 years worth of format consistency has been a single elimination play-in game and then double elimination, quarterfinals and semifinals, and then just the one-off MLS Cup. They're changing that. The entire bracket will now be single elimination. 7 teams from each conference get in. Top team gets a bye, and highest rated highest seeded team hosts in each of those single elimination games. And the other big thing, I think, is that this condenses that schedule so that it all finishes before the November FIFA dates. So we don't have that big break right in the middle of the playoffs that we have had. And the MLS Cup final will be before Thanksgiving. Wraps it all up, before the NFL really starts to get interesting and so forth. So there you go.
I like it. We get rid of the away goal rule as well, I assume.
Yeah.
Because it's a one-off.
I assume so, yeah.
I like this. I think it's a little bit more... I think it's more in par with the American style of playoffs. I think it will draw a little bit more fans because the viewing is a lot better, a lot more drama in a one-off playoff game.
Yeah.
So I'm all right with this. And the playoffs did seem a little long anyway. So I'm all good with this. The maturation of MLS.
Yeah, gotta agree. I mean, I think that MLS... as a league right now, the niche is not like, it's not super important to play, to have like the world's best league with the best, like setup from a competition standpoint. It's more important to, you know, have an entertaining product. Like we talked about, strength of schedule and how all these European schedules are balanced schedules. We don't have that in MLS, for travel reasons and that it would make things just too different for our, you know, American way of thinking. We prefer to have conferences. So I think this is kind of in line with that, to make it what people expect, from the American viewer standpoint, and yeah, make a better product, which I think that a huge part of making a better product on this is the getting rid of that big gap in the middle of the playoffs that you mentioned.
Yeah, that's huge. Kills the narrative in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I also think, so one of the complaints that people have about this is that single elimination games all the way through will basically increase your noise to the signal, right? So you'll have more upsets because the better teams don't have 2 games to prove their superiority.
That's okay.
Better teams will be playing at home, though.
But the better teams, exactly. So that balances it. It makes it huge. And I couldn't agree more. It's about entertainment. Like, do I want the best team to win in a playoff format every year? Like, no, I want awesome, exciting games. I want underdogs to make Cinderella runs. Nobody gets excited when the best 4 teams in the NCAA tournament make it to the Final 4. Everyone gets excited when there's an 8 seed in there.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah.
So, like, that's fine. Let's do that. It's fun.
Yep.
It's about entertainment. It's not.
Yep.
If you want to know about the best team, this actually, I was going to say regular season. That doesn't even do it because of the unbalanced schedule. This is not the league for you.
Yeah. It's just
but if you're looking for entertainment, like Colin said, then this, you've got to view this as a step in the right direction. So I love it. It's great. They also announced the home openers for every MLS team this year. The Timbers don't play their home opener until the first weekend in June. So they spend 3 months on the road this year. That's going to be a rough start for your boys.
Yeah.
Yeah, the stadium construction. Yeah. So, so just from the, you know, I'm a homer, Timbers boy. So there you go. Other that domestic news.
Means I get a lot of home games this summer, so I know what I'm going to be doing on break.
A lot of games at Providence Park in the second half of the schedule. In other domestic news, the January camp roster is out. It's all MLS guys. I don't actually have the entire roster here, but we'll just kind of broad strokes. Berhalter, this is his first roster as the national team coach. His quote as it came out was, quote, "We started with a number of players who we think can be a core part of the group moving forward. We then looked at players that excelled this year in Major League Soccer and finally chose players that can play a specific role in our game model." Colin, does that seem like the correct way to build a January camp roster?
I mean, I think he's got things a little bit backwards there. I think, yeah, starting with a core group that you really expect to be there. Like, if there's a guy in MLS who you think can be in your best 11, you need to call him in. I don't care if he had a good year in MLS right now or a bad year in MLS or what. If you think he can, if you think he's going to be a major contributor to our World Cup qualifying campaign, you call that guy in. Yeah. Then after that, I think you should really be thinking about the kind of the thing he puts third, which is guys who can play a specific role or like, you know, you're saying, maybe you want a certain thing out of the holding midfield position. Well, pick guys who play that way. And then last, you can fill it out with, you know, the guys who've had a nice year in MLS and you kind of want to give them a call up to the national team for, you know, giving them the respect they deserve or saying that, you know, doing well in MLS matters to the national team or something like that. But generally speaking, I think this is fine for Berhalter. I know on our emails, I put out my 30-man roster before Berhalter did, and we had some differences of opinion, yeah. But I think all of them fairly reasonable. So he did call in Michael Bradley, which for me was good to see. I think whether you think Michael Bradley has a future and it should be one of these core guys, or maybe he's a guy who you think just plays a specific role, I think having those guys in this January camp and not having it be another group like Sarachin was calling in where it's just all young kids is a good thing. I think Berhalter needs to change the kind of dynamic in that locker room a little bit to be a little bit more serious and say like, hey, these games matter. Even if they only matter from I'm evaluating all of you stage, I think he should be saying to Bradley, yeah, you know, you need to play for your spot right now. And I need to figure out what that's going to be. You're not an automatic call up, but you're also not automatically off my roster just because you're old or you were a favorite of the last regime.
I mean, I think he's done well in that, and maybe any permanent position or, you know, anybody that was given the permanent job would do the same thing, but it already looks more like he's building towards something than has happened over the last 15 months. And that's necessary, but it's also a little infuriating because this could have been happening a year ago. We've just lost. Anyway, we've had this conversation a million times.
Yep.
The one interesting thing about this roster is that it only had 27 people on it. There's a mystery 28th player that will be added. So there's a lot of talk that that's probably a guy that is not currently in MLS, but the January window will open and will be in MLS in time for this camp to start. Palmer, got any guesses? Who's the big name U.S. player
the worst
that's come
person
to MLS
to ask.
This winter?
Landon Donovan.
Landon Donovan.
No clue. No idea. Hopefully someone young.
Yeah. I said it could possibly be Emerson Hedman, who is, I think, contracted to Bournemouth right now.
Bournemouth, loaned to Hibernian.
Yeah, something like that. Could be coming over. But also there's very few forwards on this list. I think there were three or four. So I would also not be surprised if it was a striker coming back to MLS.
Yeah. Yeah. So something to keep an eye on. Expect some U.S. men's national team fringe or at least eligible guy coming back to MLS, and MLSsoccer.com will make a big deal out of it, and
so you can
find all the hype there. Yeah, probably will. I think that's about it, guys. Do you have a classroom corner, Colin?
I got nothing. I'm just depressed at this shellacking, this home shellacking we're taking at the hands of a mid-level team.
Predicted a scoreless game, and instead it may be the highest scoring game of the season.
we're about to score a seventh here. I'm predicting a seventh goal.
If this finishes with 9 goals, it's for sure the highest scoring game of the season. You're what to watch for. There are just a bunch of games, Premier League games specifically, over the holidays. Midweek on Boxing Day, then next weekend, then New Year's, FA Cup. There's all sorts of stuff. And what that really means is if you're playing your streaks game with us, just every day, just be checking that, because otherwise you're going to miss some early kickoff. Hopefully nobody missed the early kickoff on Friday this week. Just be on top of it. We'll try to send emails, but we're also traveling. So reminder emails may be spotty. So that's it. A lot of soccer. It's a great time of year.
Yep. Enjoy it.
Look out for those red cards, because some guys are going to want New Year's off.
Red cards or yellow cards that will...
It was one of those. Lewis Dunk in the Brighton game gave us a second yellow card for a red card to get Boxing Day off. That was like, with a yellow card, why are you like sliding just to barely clip a guy from behind? Like, he's getting away from you. You need that yellow card. Fucking get him.
Get him. He would be the perfect guy to find the wedding registry for.
Yes.
Someone, all right, guys.
Someone send us the link, lewisdunk.thenot.com.
Have a good holiday. Be good.
Yeah. Happy holidays, everybody.
Thanks,
we'll be
Cliff.
Around next weekend, I think.
Thanks, Cliff.
All right.
Bean and cheese and rice burrito. Peking duck. Uh-oh. Don't close.
Don't close.
With all due respect, Palmer, suck my balls.
Colin is wrong. Fuck off.
Snap that up. All right, this is the easy part. This is why we give Mike this job.
We're the last people that should be throwing stones here.